It's really, really good to be here. I've known your pastor, Pastor Brian, Pastor Tolu. I've known them for so long, many, many years. And I mean, what gets to me is that they don't look a day older.
Amen.
Something is wrong, don't you think? Why is it that some people have it and others don't? But thank God. Thank God for his grace and his strength and his mercy upon us all. So it's a great honor to be here with my wife, Comfort, and the family, and to join you. And we've had a great time this morning, haven't we? Yeah. The Lord has been here, mighty and powerful amongst us. And I just want to share a few words with you, just to encourage you, and just really just feel inspired. Feel encouraged by God to go out with all the words that we heard today about the Spirit coming, the Spirit inspiring us, the Spirit blessing us. What is the purpose of that? Is that we might be a witness to the world. That's what we sang about, that we will be empowered. You know, even right from the prayer we prayed as leaders in the meeting, and our brother led us in that prayer of our Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Can we say it together? The first part, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. And how is this going to be happening? Through you. How is the kingdom going to come? How is God's will and God's purpose going to be demonstrated? It is through you. Say to somebody, it's through you. Turn to someone else and say, through you. It's through you. Okay, so the title of this message this morning is Church in the Marketplace. Someone say, Church in the Marketplace. Okay, so the scripture is a well-known scripture, very simple scripture, but it's taken from Matthew chapter 5. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 5, well, four verses, just from verse 13. You know the scriptures, we call it the Beatitudes. That's when Jesus speaks on the Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of the sermon, Jesus says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on the people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let your light shine, Jesus said, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. A couple of two or three weeks ago, I had a phone call that was very distressing for me. A friend of mine, he was trying to get me. So for a few days, he was ringing. A couple of days, he was ringing, and I couldn't pick up. I was so busy. And I had it in my mind to call him back. But you know how it is. You're just caught up, and you're thinking, time, at some point, I'm going to do this. But the time never arrived. But at some point, another friend of mine sent me a text and said, "You know, this guy's been trying to call you. Can you try and call him, please? This is really urgent. It's really important." I thought, oh, my goodness. So I felt bad, and I called him, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I've been trying to call you because a couple of days beforehand, his son, who is sitting his GCSEs, had come home, and in the evening they were just having dinner together, as families do. And there was a knock on the door. And when they opened it, there were two policemen at the door. And they proceeded to try to handcuff the boy, who is only age 16. And what's going on? What's going on? Guys, wait a minute. And it What they were told was that there had been an allegation of sexual assault against the boy. Now, this is the boy who had come back from school, haven't done his GCSEs, in the middle of GCSEs, just done his second paper. And what they told him was that there was a girl, another girl from the class, same class who had been in the same class with the boy, and they'd finished the GCSEs and gone off to the park together. And the girl is now making an allegation of rape, sexual assault against the boy. Obviously, this is very shattering for this family. I mean, devastation is, it's not really the phrase, the right phrase to describe what the family were going through. And of course, for this young man's life, you can imagine having been taken in into custody to be questioned. That meant that really his GCSEs had been derailed. And now the future and the destiny and all the things that the family were imagining was looking like it's going to go up in smoke. Now, of course, the boy denies that any kind of assault had taken place. But the reality is there are only two people in that situation that really know what happened. Whatever we might think, those two individuals know exactly what happened in that book. But the consequences for those two individuals are very obvious. There are no winners in this situation. Not for the girl, not for the boy. Saints, I tell you this story because I want you to understand that there is an attack. That is a focused attack on young people by the devil, Satan. The only plan or strategy that he has is what Jesus told us in John 10:10, which is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. There is no other strategy that the enemy has against us, against the people, against the young people of this age. And for some, it will be suicide. For some, it will be drugs. For some, it will be alcohol. For others, it will be violence. You hear about all the street violence. For others, it will be sex, lust, all the various things, social media. But the reality is that we have, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, that there is a roaring lion. That's the phrase that's described, the devil is described by Peter. He's a roaring lion going about seeking to devour. And until we understand that, it will not be clear to us what God wants us to do in order to respond to the strategy of the enemy. His strategy is for the generations to destroy their future, to destroy the hope. The ambition, the plans. God said, I know my thoughts for you, and thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But the enemy says, no, I know my plans for you. And my plan is to destroy whatever future, whatever hope, whatever your parents have, whatever you have. I want to make sure that it never happens. I want to make sure that it's only misery and suffering. Amen, my brother. In Jesus' name. Saints, what we have in front of us is warfare. And now more than ever, as Christians, we need to stand up and become a force to be reckoned with. For too long, we've been ignored, marginalized. People say, well, the church does not matter. The gospel does not matter. The government can deal with this. We have the strategies to deal with this. The local authority have committees to deal with this. The youth clubs have resources to deal with it. The schools have resources to deal with this. We don't need the church out there. But I tell you, saints, that the church is needed. The gospel is the answer. It is the hope for a world that is in darkness. Where are the Esthers of this world that would say, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to put my life on the line so that people can be rescued from the destruction that the enemy plans for them? Where are they? I talk about the church in the marketplace because you can understand what the marketplace looks like. Many of you have been to a marketplace. You probably haven't been recently. You've been to your Harrods and your House of Fraser, and it's been nice and neat. But if you came to my end and you went to Brixton Market, and you don't know anything about it, but it's a place, it's very chaotic. It's very noisy. It's very messy. But there is a lot of exchange. Not sure what people are buying and selling, but your exchange, there is an exchange of stuff. And out there in the marketplace of society, there is an exchange of ideas, an exchange of opinions, of right way to do things and the wrong way to do things. And the reality of the message that I bring to you today is that if we are not out there sharing this good news, this alternative message, then how are they going to know about it? In Romans, Paul says, how will they hear without a preacher? All right, so you and I have been designated by God, and Christ says that. He says, you are the light. You are the salt. Not the preacher, not Pastor Brian, not Pastor Tolu, but you and I. Wherever we are the lights in the darkness. And I've got three things to share with you that if we have to have an influence on the world around us, on the society around us, what must we do? Just three things that I want to share with you today. The first is we cannot withdraw into our Christian ghetto. If we are going to have an influence and an impact on the world around us, we cannot hide ourselves away and just have lovely time in church. And we have fantastic times in church, but it's not enough to make an impact on the world out there. Spirit, come and make us a witness. Empower us so that we might do the work that you have called us to do. We saw it today. It says your sons and your daughters, praise God, will prophesy. Right, where? Out there. They will speak powerfully of the glory of God. They will reach their generation. And that young man was praising God this morning. And I felt an anointing on me. And I said, Lord, this is a promise being fulfilled. Right. Out of the mouths of lips of babes and infants. They will touch their generation. We declare it. Our children will touch their generation. They will have an influence. They will not be influenced. They will be the leaders. They will be the role models. They will have followers. They will not follow anyone into destruction. They will be followed into hope, into life. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. Too often we believe in what is called safe theology. We like it when we say, I'm hidden in God, safe and secure from all alarm. Hide me under the cleft of the rock. We have been made to believe that Christianity is all about being hidden. Safe theology has become a real problem for church because we've been told that all we need to do is come under the shelter of the Most High God. Saints, if you want to be in the center of God's will, it will not be safe. I'm sorry to give you that alarming news. The center of God's will, my sister, is not the safest place to be. Ask David when he was running from Saul into God's will. It wasn't safe. Ask Daniel in that heathen nation as he was seeking to be in the center of God's will. He ended up in a lion's den. Go through scriptures. As people tried, in Hebrews we hear that lions, there was fire. They had to scale mountains. Many of them had to suffer because they wanted to be in God's will. But we are told, no. God's will is a place of pleasure. It's a place of rest. It's a place of nothing will happen, no evil, no issues, all problems solved, every day happy. great, wonderful. Saints, God is calling us to step into His will, to step into His purposes and His plan for your life and my life. And the often thing for us is there's fear. I think about that scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, we see an interesting situation here with Moses. Let me read it to you, 24. In Deuteronomy 2, 24, God says to Moses, set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. Hear what God said to him. This very day, I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. Awesome. They will be terrified of you. Begin to move into their territory. Begin to conquer. Begin to take possession. Engage him in battle. You're going to get victory. No doubt about it. In fact, everyone's going to hear the wonderful things that God is doing. But you know what Moses did? Moses sends letters to this king. He says, hi, we just want to cross your country. We promise that we will not even step on a leaf. We will be very careful as we move. And whatever we take, we will pay for it. Don't worry, don't be alarmed. We will just move quickly through. That's not what God told him. God said, engage in battle. Get in there. Possess. I have given you victory. They're going to hear. But he doesn't do that. And so what God does, as he does often with us when we decide not to do what he wants us to do, eventually you will come back. How many of you know? You can do whatever you want and go round and round in circles. Somehow, circumstances, saints, situations, things will happen that will bring you right back. You say, yeah, okay, I've been running, but now I can't run anymore. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about your purpose. It's all about your plan. Okay, I'm done with running. So what happens? God hardens the heart of this king. And the king says, no way. I've seen your letters. Forget it. I've burned them. You're not coming through my territory. All right? Sorry. It's been nice knowing you. So now, Moses has to go back and fight to gain territory, which is what God told him to do in the first place. Do you see what I mean? And that's often what happens with us, that the church is running scared. We're afraid to take the battle to the enemy. We're afraid to conquer. And God said, you are the salt and the light. You, my brother, my sister, are the salt and the light in your neighborhood. God wants you to go into that neighborhood and be his light and his salt and get involved and take control and do the things that God has planned for you to do. And what God has planned for you to do is different from what he's planned for me to do, but do what it is that God has planned for you to do. And that's how he will bring light. That's how he's going to bring an influence. You cannot run away from it too long. Sooner or later, you're going to have to say, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you have for me to do? That's what I want you to ask. When you go out today, when you go out tomorrow, Lord, what do you have for me to do? What do you want me to do? And he will speak to you. He will give you the opportunity to exercise the things. God has no other plan. Since the plan for God to change and transform and change, there is no other. This is the only plan. It's you and I.
That's right.
I know you've heard that story. It's a story. Obviously, it's not a true story, but it's a story of when Jesus had finished his work on earth and he arrives in heaven. And as he arrives in heaven, Michael, the archangel, goes to him and says, oh, tell us what happened. We're dying to know. What happened on earth? He says, well, you know what happened? I went down there. I preached the gospel. And, at some point, they took me to a cross and hung me on a tree. But, of course, after being buried 3 days later, I rose again. And now I'm here and I have left a group of people there, and they're going to share the word. They're going to spread this kingdom that I have set up, and everyone's going to know the message. And Michael, the archangel, says, What if that plan fails? What if it fails? And Jesus answered, there is no other plan. There is no other plan. You know, the stats are very clear. Let me actually do that stats here. How many people here came to church because they went to a crusade, a large crusade, and they gave their lives to Christ there, or they knew God there? Anyone here? Just to show them. You went to a huge crusade and... Oh, wow. I thought there would be at least a few hands. Okay, none. All right. Interesting. Oh, there's one. Oh, I didn't see. Oh, praise God. Praise God. What crusade was this? Just out of interest. Sorry. Maurice Arullo. Fantastic. Wonderful. How many people here came to church because they woke up one day? Just, there was a lightning, thunder, I don't know. A light shone from heaven. I don't know, something happened in your life and you decided I'm going to church today for the first time ever in your life. Anyone? Just you woke up one day, you didn't know anything about God, and God just spoke to you. We've heard those reports, you know, in Muslim countries, you know, someone gets just some direct revelation from Jesus and they, that's it. Anyone? The stats are very clear that the majority of people who are in church today are in church because someone brought them to church. There is no other plan. You and I are the instruments through which God will change the lives of other people. The question for you and I is, are we ready to be that instrument, to be that channel through which God will bring salt and light? That's the question that you and I have to ask and answer. The second thing is that if we are going to have a radically, if we're going to have an influence in the world around us, then we have to be distinctive and radically different. While not withdrawing from the secular world, we have to be effective, yet distinctive. All right? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. That's quite serious. What is the purpose of salt? Salt is, okay, we're told by the health fanatics that we shouldn't eat more salt, so we need to be careful talking too much about salt in church. We're supposed to be, you know, sending healthy and sending all the right messages. So please forgive me for this minute. But what is, okay, forget about salt. Whatever it is that you use for seasoning, right? What is the purpose? Is to make it that food sweet. You know, you're doing your bolognese sauce or you're making your, you know, your pepper soup. I don't care. I don't know what you do. But you put some seasoning in it, isn't it, to bring taste out, to make it sweet, something that's bland, something that's, you know, that's got nothing in it, suddenly become desirable. The food becomes lovely, right? But that's the work of you and I in the world around us, that where there is nothingness, where there is blandness, where there is no hope, where there is no loveliness, where there's no joy, we are supposed to bring what? Happiness, spread loveliness, bring hope where there is no hope. But the problem is where the salt has lost its saltiness, i.e. it's lost the thing that makes it salt. And Jesus asked a very simple question, which is really a rhetorical question. In other words, the answer is inherent in it. In other words, what are you going to do with it? There's no point anymore. You've got to just throw it away, isn't it? Because there's no salt. You can't, salt has lost its saltiness. I don't know how it does that. I don't even know how salt can lose its saltiness. But Jesus happens to think that he can do that. So I agree with the Lord and Savior. But if it loses its saltiness, there is no point. So we as Christians have to be distinctive in the world around us. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that the life that you live, the way that you live your life out there needs to be different. If we have no forgiveness, if we have no love, if we have no generosity, if we go all the day long, we are complaining and miserable, and all we can do is complain and miserable, what is it that you bring to the table? Huh? You don't bring any love. You don't bring any forgiveness. You don't bring any generosity. You don't bring anything that, you know, you look into Galatians 5 and you look at Matthew 5 and all the things that Christ speaks about that makes his people distinctive. Then how can we influence the world around us if we haven't got that working in our lives? Then we're the same. And there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. Because the world around us is just full of selfishness, it's full of greed, it's full of wickedness, and people will tell lies to get what they want. They will do whatever it takes. It's about me, I, me, and myself. You and I cannot afford to be people of I, me, and myself. We can't afford to be that because Christ shows us a different way. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. That is what gives us the right to be able to send a message to those out there. There was a saint that said this, and I like it. He said, you cannot fulfill the Great Commission, or you shouldn't fulfill the Great Commission until you have first lived the Great Commandment. Do you get that? Our witnessing for Christ requires that our lifestyle of love supports that. St. Francis Assisi once said, we should preach the gospel all day long and, if necessary, use words. If necessary. So the principle there is very simple. Let's demonstrate excellence. Let's demonstrate faithfulness. Let's demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about being able to show that there is a different way of living. It is possible. And we don't do it in our power. We do it by the grace of God. We do it because of the enablement of God. And that's why we sang those songs this morning. We said, Lord, come. Spirit, come. And do what? Empower us so that we can live the life that you have called us to live, and therefore you can then be we can then be the channels of your blessing to those around us. But you must empower us first. In Jude, it talks about the grace of God that teaches us. It's the grace of God that teaches us to shun ungodliness and to live the life. It is God's grace. It's all about God's grace. It's all about his grace. And when you and I learn to tap into God's grace, there is nothing we cannot achieve. Hallelujah. Finally, let your light shine through good works. Jesus said what? Matthew 5, 16. Let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So much chaos, so much misery, so much mess around. Depression, broken homes, families being broken up, people going through wondering, is there any way out of the issues that we have? And Jesus said, you let your light shine. Shine in the darkness of the world around you. And Jesus showed us that example in his praying, in his fasting, in his giving, in all the things that he did. Yes, he was in private looking to God, but out there, he was out there doing the will of his master. Will you and I step up to the plate? Will we step up to the plate and say, I have light, I have an anointing. I have an anointing. I have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has given me something that I can give to this generation. And I am going to do it. I'm going to allow the light of God in my life to shine in the area that I am, in the neighborhood, in my workplace. Wherever I go, people must see that God is with me. Are you and I going to do that? Are we going to allow you have a gift of God. You may not know what it is and say, Lord, what is the gift that you've given me? The other day I was sharing with some young people and I said to them, you know, there is power in affirmation. When you see the gifts of the Holy Spirit or you see someone, you know, you've sang well. You know, you have a great anointing for singing. you know, you have a gift of prophecy. I could hear you prophesying your prayer. But whatever it is, affirming people when we see the gifts operating in their lives is powerful. Because people need to know that they have something of God. Something powerful. And everyone here has something of God in them. There is something in your life, and don't let anyone tell you differently. And you can simply start to exercise it. You can do that. You don't need anyone to come and lay hands on you. You can know that God is with you as a mighty and an awesome God. We need to be stepping up, my sisters, my brothers. We need to bind up wounds. We need to help those who are down. We need to understand that there are people who are broken, and it's my job and your job to speak words of comfort, to tell them there is Jesus, there is a one who saves, there is one who cares, there is one who loves them. And not just say it, but be there for them. Demonstrate that. Let's not be people who have no time. God did not put you here on earth so that you can just pay the bills. I know the bills have to be paid. I know, and I'm not saying that. I mean, there are bills to be paid, and they're always. They're coming through the door. You've just paid one, three more coming. There are always bills to be paid. But I am decided that God has not put me on the face of this earth so that I can just pay bills. All right? My life is worth much more than that. Right? I am not going to live my life just paying bills. I'm going to make my life count. It must count for something. And my life, you know, I say to people, the measure of maturity as a Christian is not how many times you've been to church, or how much Bible you read, or how much prayers you pray. It is about how much does your life bless others. Because a person who is not mature cannot give anything. You're not in a position to give. You don't want to give. Christian maturity should be about how much we give. Unfortunately, church now is about how much we receive. Oh, I'm bored. What's going on with these people nowadays? Huh? You go to church these days and it's just boring. Huh? You go to a prayer meeting, it's boring. You go to a men's meeting, it's boring. You go to a women's meeting, it's boring. Do you know what I mean? I'll just watch TV. It's boring. Why is it boring? You need to get mature, my gosh.
That's right.
Please, you need to get. I'm sorry, but you need to understand that church is not there to fulfill all your needs. Church is not around so that every little desire you have has to be fulfilled. This is not Tesco's. No, but you know. Okay, you don't show me. Sorry, I'm so sorry. This is Waitrose. This is not Waitrose. Right, I'm talking to the middle class guys, you know, at the back there, you know, because they don't show up at Tesco. Yeah? No, don't say Aldi, please. Yeah. We have turned it into a consumer thing. It's all about me. What have they done for me? But saints, how is God going to transform the world around us if all we are doing is looking for the world to give us something? Yeah, this thing about entitlement. What have you done for me lately? The song says. It's not about what have I done to help this guy, this woman, that guy over there. What am I going to do to help that other guy there? That's when you know the person has got to where they need to be in God. Because now they're allowing God to use them to be a blessing. They're allowing themselves to be the hands and the feet of God, the words of God. Very earlier on this year, we had a fire next door to us. It's horrendous, and I'm going to finish in a couple of minutes. We had a fire around us. You know, it's awful. We woke up on Saturday morning, and heat everywhere. And we looked, and just next door was the flames. And we flew out of that house, right? We all got up very early. Why does it always happen too early in the morning? It never happens at a nice, convenient time. There's no convenient time for a fire, but suddenly we came out and people were out on the streets, but obviously the word has gone out and people have felt it. But there were two families suddenly made homeless. Just within the space of a couple of hours, nowhere to go. They couldn't go in. Belongings destroyed. somehow God miraculously saved our home. There is no reason why that fire shouldn't get to us. But that day we realized that, yes, there is protection in God. God does look after his own. We didn't know we were sleeping. Anything could have happened. But somehow, not a scratch on the wall of our home was touched, yet next door. But the point I'm trying to make is that suddenly we were in a position where, okay, you're Christians. What are you going to do now? All these guys are out there homeless. They didn't even have clothes because they ran out of their homes. And suddenly, the next minute, our home, our door was opened and people were pouring in. You came into the house and the place was teeming with people. The kids had to go and get their clothes out. We got our blankets out, got bed sheets out, anything you can find. Because now you have to demonstrate. You've been talking about being Christians. And now this is where the rubber hits the road. Okay. You know. All day long, seven tea, seven coffees. But that was an opportunity for God to use us. God wants to use you and he wants to use me. That's what he wants to do. And we can't run forever. So Jesus says to you and I, the church has to be out there. It needs to be relevant if it's going to be church. It needs to be in the marketplace. People's lives need to be touched by your life and my life. Some people will be called to the ends of the earth, but you will be called to next door, to your own area, to your school, local school, and say, what can I do? You will be called to work. What can I do? You will be called to wherever, but God calls you. And Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God was with him. When you go out there and you start to do things for God, God will support. God will empower, because you've stepped out of your comfort zone. God is going to be there. You need not worry. He says, blow, I am with you always. And God wants to demonstrate his power. He's looking for you and I. When we stand up, step up to the plate, see what God can do in your life and in my life. Let me finish with this wonderful quote from Martin Luther King. This was something that he said just before, this is 2 months before he was assassinated. On the 4th of February, he preached a message, Ebenezer Baptist Church. I believe you know who Martin Luther King is. And the message was played at his funeral. But this is just towards the last part of his message. I just want to share with you this quote, because I think it's quite powerful. He said this, Martin Luther King, every now and then, I guess we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something we call death. We all think about it. And every now and then, I think about my own death. And I think about my own funeral. I don't think about it in a morbid sense. Every now and then, I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want to have a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, please tell them not to talk too long. Every now and then, I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my own way to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness, and all of the other shallow things will not matter. Bow your heads with me in prayer. What matters to you more than anything else? Your property, your possessions, what you want to leave to the next generation, your legacy. What matters more to you than anything else? There is a yearning, a desire in the heart of the Master that you and I will be available for him to use us. And I'm not asking you to do anything incredible. All I'm saying to you this morning is that God needs you. God needs you wherever you are to be a vehicle, a channel of blessing to the lives of those he brings you under. And for you parents, it starts in your home. It starts with your children. The world out there is a jungle. It is awful. It is dangerous in every sense of it. And I, as a parent, I understand how awesome the responsibility is as the young men and women try to navigate the awesome realities of the world they live in. Would you and I as parents make ourselves available for God to use us to transform and to shape the next generation? Young people, I want to ask you, will you leave yourself in the hands of the Father so that he can use you to shape your own generation? Will you be his hands and his feet? Would you leave yourself to him? Will you give yourself to him to use you in his own small way? Might be a very small way, but something to bless someone's life, to bring happiness into the lives of someone. Will you be willing? Will you be available? Men, women, will you be available for God to use you as a light in the darkness, to give you work to do so that his will and his purpose will be done? I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you said. Use me. Can you say that prayer? To show someone the way and enable me to see. Young man, young woman, you think I have nothing to give, but you do. If only you knew what God has given to you. If only you can stand and say, Lord, use me for my friends. For those that I come into contact with, I can tell them something and say, what you're doing is not going to get you anywhere. Turn around. Change. Save someone's life, young man, young woman. Your friends, save their lives. Share with them what you know, because they may not know. Like we should pray. I don't know if we have time for a couple of minutes. Hallelujah. Maybe you want us to pray with you. Why don't you just come forward? We're going to pray with you. I want to pray for you. But if you want to be prayed for, just come forward. You may, God's touched you, God's spoken to you, and you just feel like you want someone to pray with you. We're just going to pray quickly. We've only got a couple of minutes, so we're not going to spend too long on this. But please feel free, come forward. I want to see young people come forward. I want to see young men, young women. I want you to come forward if God is speaking to you, because I want us to pray with you. Because God has work for you to do. And I want him to touch your heart and touch your life in the way you've never known before. Wow, we've got some children coming forward. Lord, may your name be praised and glorified. Because you have a heart for the next generation. The enemy wants to steal that generation. He wants to put a conflict between the generation that has been and the generation that's to come. But we are saying today, no. No to his tactics. No to his strategy against our children, against the generations to come. We're saying no. No more will you try to destroy their future. No more will you try to destroy the plans and the purposes that God has for the generation. They will achieve. They will achieve. They will achieve beyond all measure, beyond their expectations. Everything, every desire that their parents hope for them, every desire that you hope for them, your heart for them shall be realized. We come against every power of darkness, every agent of violence, every agent of drugs, every agent of sex, of immorality, every agent of sex, social media, try to steal their minds, try to steal your word, try to steal the gospel, try to steal the plan of God. We say no. By the power that is in the name of Jesus, we break your hold over their lives. Every young man, every woman, we surrender them to God. They will know his power. They will know his empowerment, his love, his grace, his mercy, his gifts, his talents will be abundant in their lives, and they will serve their generation. They will be used. They will be glorifying the name of Jesus. We declare it. It shall be so. They will achieve more than their parents. They will achieve more than their leaders. They will go to places that none of us have ever been. In you, oh God. In you, the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do we have sisters, like head sisters, deaconesses? Do we have any? Some sisters come. I want you to just lay your hands on them. That's all. We're not praying. We're just laying. Come on, women. Come on, women. If you feel of the Lord, if you feel led, actually, just come on. I want you to lay your hands on these children. You know, feel the heart of a mother. I want you to feel the heart of a mother for the young ones here. Pastor Brian and I will play for the older ones. But for the young ones, I want women, please, wherever you are, come. Just lay your hands on them and go around, and don't take too long, but just lay your hands on them and let the love of God come from your heart, from deep within. You know you've had children, maybe, but let that come from deep within you, and let God use you to impact something into their lives in the mighty name of Jesus.